Blog Talk Radio.
Whoa. Welcome to the Merlot Show. I am Melinda.
And I'm Marcella.
And I'm coming to you from Cross Plains, Tennessee.
And I'm coming to you from Dante Hightower's hometown, Lewisburg, Tennessee.
All right.
You knew I had to throw that in there.
Yes. And tonight we have a special guest with us. And welcome to the show, Justin Dries.
Hello.
Hey.
Nice Justin. To be here. And it's good to talk to you guys. It's been a little while.
Yes, it has. And tonight we're going to be talking about Justin's new book that's out called Minion 2 Root, right? Tell me I said that
right. That's right. Yeah.
All right.
It's the second one in the series, and it's called Root. So, yeah, you got that right. So we're off to a good start.
That's good. Well, before we get started on your book, let's talk a little about Justin tonight. So the last time we were talking to you, you lived in New York, I believe, when you wrote the other one came
out,
the first book.
Uh-huh.
So where are you now?
Yeah, I live in Birmingham, Alabama. It's a little bit of difference from New York City. It's got a different pace. The wildlife is a little different. The weather's a little different as well. When we talked, I was living in New York. I think I recently moved there, and I left there in May of 2013, I think it was. And then I did a little 4-month stunt on a cruise ship, working on a cruise ship again. I went over to Scandinavia. And I spent 4 months out there, and I went over to the UK a little bit in the Mediterranean. And then I planted my feet here in Birmingham, kind of freelancing and trying to make that work out. And it did it for a while. And now I'm working full time with a company called AG Lighting, and we do production for live events. And so I've been doing kind of the same work there, and I've been able to get a lot more writing done here. So, it was a good choice to move, so I'm happy to be here.
Well, sounds good.
Yeah, and a little closer to family. A little closer, you know. My whole family lives basically in this area, so it's nice to be closer to them.
So, what's your favorite place to live since you've lived all these places?
I remember liking New Mexico a lot. I think because of the air and the mountains and like the kind of the outlaw history that kind of surrounds that area. You know.
Kind of explains his books a little bit, huh?
Yeah. One of my idols when I lived there was Billy the Kid. Believe it or not, I went around all where he had like broke out of jail and where he was supposedly buried and where he grew up and
cool.
And he was like my hero.
I always liked Billy.
Yeah. So, but I remember that. You know, I liked living there. I remember as a kid. You know, I was like around, I think it was seventh grade kind of time. I remember liking that quite a bit,
it sounds like a nice place. Speaking of places, so what is your favorite place to write? I mean, where do you like to be when you're writing?
Yeah.
Or do you have one?
Well, it kind of fluctuates. Right now, like I've been doing a lot of work. On my couch. I'm working on a new project now. It's completely different from this story. And what's worked out really well is to have that show Deadwood playing in the background while I'm writing.
Yes, yes, I like that show. Yeah.
That was going to be my next question. Did you ever have background noise like music or TV while you wrote?
Yeah, as long as it's something I've seen before a bunch of times.
Mm-hmm.
We lost him.
Oh, we did? Oh,
yes,
no. Well,
lost him.
Justin, if you're listening, you can call back in. And the number is 914-338-0788. For any of our other listeners, if you have a question for Justin, his new book has come out. It's the sequel to the first one, Minion Roots. You can call in and just push one if you want when you get ready to talk or want to talk or ask him a question.
Or if they
want to
call in and just listen, they can.
Yes, you don't even have to talk. You can just call and listen. But I have actually read the book, and
okay, we got him back.
Okay, good. I was going to start bragging about how good the book was, but we'll go ahead with Justin's story. Justin,
yeah,
back
sorry.
Up the line. Hey,
yeah.
Did you not like our questions and just hung up on us, or what?
No, I heard a beep, and I started talking, just thinking that maybe I just heard the beep, and so I was talking to myself for a second. But I figured out what I was talking. But no, I like to have stuff playing in the background that I've already seen or heard of a bunch of times. I think with Minion, I'll have like that movie Seven in the background or something like that, and then it's something along those lines, some sort of thriller that I've seen like 100 times that I don't need to really pay attention to. So kind of like I'm pretty much of a sponge, you know. Everything that I read or watch, it kind of flows through me pretty fluidly, actually. So.
Well, whenever you're writing, do you ever like have you a little sip of Merlot or wine,
yeah,
whiskey or any other vices?
Yeah, yeah. There's a few vices, but not many. They're pretty tame versions. But just when I'm trying to come up with a concept or the general idea, now to like actually make something that makes sense, like actually put down. I have to wait till I'm a little.
You probably don't want to drink too much. You wake up the next morning and read what you wrote, like, what the heck was I thinking?
That happens.
But sometimes it might relax you or whatever, probably, and you know, maybe you might write things that you normally wouldn't. So yeah, I could see doing
right.
that.
Yeah, outlining, you know, with a drink or two is not a bad idea at all. I have to say yes.
Well, that answers that question.
Well, I haven't got to read the new book yet. Melinda tells me she's already read it, and she says it's better than the first one.
Oh, good.
And
I
find
so.
That a little hard to believe because I loved the first one. Everybody, if you haven't read Dominion, you got to read this. It is so good. But Melinda says the second one's even better. So go ahead, when you get the first one, go ahead and buy the second one because it's going to be even better.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Great. I'm glad to hear that because, you know, I wanted to become more and more excited. I was a little worried because the second one's kind of a segue to the third one, I think.
I
feel like there's tons of action, lots of things happen, but
honest, I was a little worried because most trilogies and, you know, books that are in parts like that, the second book usually falls a little flat for me. When she told me this one was even better, I was all excited, so I can't wait to read it.
Okay, great. Yeah, I definitely think it'll keep you. It's action packed. There's things happen. I don't think it's going to bore you.
It is. It definitely is action packed.
Yeah.
And I'm going to warn everybody: do not read the book when there's you're all alone, if you get scared very easily, do not read it right before you go to bed. If you have nightmares at night, I'm just warning you because it's that scary. It really is. And that's mm-hmm. another question I do have for you. Do any of the ideas that you put into the book or some of the plots or whatever, have they ever come from dreams that you had at night or nightmares? I should say nightmares because I'm going to tell you they're nightmares.
Yeah.
Or do you even dream at night, you know?
I definitely dream at night. I can't honestly say that my ideas come from my dreams. Maybe it does without me knowing about it. But I think that a lot of the ideas I come up with happen in the shower.
they always tell Melinda the same thing. The bathroom is where all the ideas are.
Yeah.
She has told me that, but she's usually not in the shower. She's usually on the bottom. So with these ideas.
Well, all business happens in the bathroom. That's funny. I can't say that I woke up from a dream and had to write it down, something down
right.
I dreamed. Most stuff I come up with will happen after I watch a really good movie or read a good book, and I'm like, or I'll come up with like some sort of life experience that I would like that I would like to make better. Or for instance, like the first thing I wrote was came after I went to a wedding that didn't go so well, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And and then I kind of decided to write, well, what kind of wedding would go well for me? And that's kind of where that came from. So
And then
the same with Minion, probably, in a way. I wanted to create kind of a sort of a superhero in a way, but like one that I would be more satisfied to learn about, to know, that, as opposed to like maybe a cheesier superhero, like some of the stuff that
happens
a lot today, you know.
I mean, in Justin's books, everything that he brings to the table as far as happenings throughout the book, it's original, and it's scary to think that those kind of thoughts, you know, that you could put into a book.
I thought you were going to say it's scary that he has those thoughts.
Well, that he could come up with those thoughts.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
at the same time, it's genius.
Yeah,
it makes a good book.
There's times where I'm like, should I really be letting people read this? You know, I mean, you know, like, they're going to think I'm nuts. You know, what if like an employer reads this and says, whoa, is this the guy that works for me? I don't know about this. it is kind of weird because sometimes I'm, you know, I'm posting this online telling people, but hey, I'm a writer. It's my hobby, you know. I got this story. You got to check it out. And then in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, well, this person might get really freaked out and never talk to me again. You know,
it's kind of letting that person have a piece of yourself to read one of your writings, right?
I'm sorry.
I mean, you're kind of letting yourself out there. You're giving them a piece of yourself whenever you let them read anything you write. I mean, isn't that how you feel?
Well, it's a piece of his imagination. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, unless I was writing a biography, I don't think I'll ever do autobiography.
Right.
It is something I created. I think I've gotten to where I kind of detach myself from it, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't feel as if, especially with fiction, I think you can just do whatever you want, you know? Some people get confused of what, you know, fiction really is, and they get freaked out. You know, it can be anything you want. It can be a total detachment of yourself. You let your imagination run wild, and you don't have to be confined to, you know, reality and who
right.
you are. You can be something completely different from yourself. And I think that's, it's, it's a, you know, writing for me has been my form of expression, because I can do anything I want, you know, as opposed to like picking up a guitar or even with lighting or any of the event production mm-hmm. stuff I do, mm-hmm. like there's always boundaries, you know, there's always like a way I have to do it. And with this, it's just, I can do anything, you know, so that's, so in saying that, it is kind of, I can detach myself from it. If that makes sense. It's if I had a prosthetic limb, I could just take it off and put it on the table.
Okay, but the thing is, in your books, in these two books, though, you do rely a little bit on the religious part. I mean, the mm-hmm. are you Catholic, by the way?
I was raised Catholic. I was baptized as a Catholic.
Okay,
I'm fascinated by religion.
Aren't you afraid of pissing some religious people off, though? I told you I was blunt.
I would love to get this in the hands of a few really devout Christians and even, you know, ministers and preachers, and get their opinion. You know, I'd love to like hear a review from one of the, from a preacher, and that is a goal of mine, to try to find someone and, you know, give them a copy, you know, say, hey, check this out. This is a sort of a offshoot or a side story to your beliefs. You know, I'm kind of playing with your beliefs. So,
and see what they would have to say about it.
Getting into
the book a little bit, on one of the characters, the Deacon James, any of the characteristics that you put, you know, into that character, does any of that come from a past priest that you've known, or is it just totally fiction altogether? Or is it a combination of maybe priests as far as their character?
You know, honestly, there's not like a realistic person that I've played off of him. What I have in my mind with Deacon James is especially with the second one and in some of the first one that I'm reading, is I have the actor Jamie Foxx in my head. And I mean, like, for a while it was like kind of more, it was like a Morgan Freeman sort of character, but now it's kind of morphed into a Jamie Foxx, and specifically like Jamie Foxx from that movie Collateral. Or that movie, The Soloist, where he plays that virtuoso. Merging those two characters of his together, that's who I have in my head. Kind of a like a nervous tick to him, but you know, real passionate, but kind of like a recluse almost, a recluse. Yeah. So that's who I have. Hey, I can't honestly say it comes from anybody in my life. To be honest with you.
Well, before I had mentioned the first book, seeing that being made into a movie, but this book, I see this book being more of a 3D movie because, I'm going to tell you, all the effects, special effects that could be done,
Way
you described it.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely see this in 3D.
Yes. I think that in my mind, this one is the most visual. It'll probably be the most visually expansive, I guess, of the three stories. I think this one allows. Or if it were to be put to film, that this one would be the most fun for any kind of director, if that's in the more of a visual way. And it's because it's, you know, I think a lot of this story, the visual elements involved in this story are inspired by a lot of film, and more specifically, like I'm going to say his name wrong, but the director, I think it's Tarsem Singh. It's TARSEMSINGH. He did the films The Cell and Immortals, and he's done some commercials.
Yeah.
And you know, his movies are really dependent on, you know, eye candy, so to speak. I feel like there, it really goes deep, and it goes, and some of it's kind of morbid, but it's definitely his own style. I see it. He did another movie called The Fall that's really dependent on the visual aspect of the storytelling. So this one would be fun. Like, I think if we put this story into his hands, he would love it. The second book. Yeah, I have this wild dream that, you know, if this ever did get picked up to a film, to have, I'm drawing a blank now. But the guy that did the 300 movies, and he's done the new Superman movie, for him to do the first book, to this Tarsem guy to do the second book, and then have Christopher Nolan do the third book. That would be like the ultimate.
Speaking of the, and I wasn't even going to ask you this to the end of the interview, but when can we expect that third book? Because I love the second book, but now I'm like on pins and needles waiting on that third book.
Yeah, I know. I have a TBD release date, but I'm looking at, like, I think it a realistic thing would be done. It's 2015 today, or this year, right? Yeah.
Yes, and today too.
Julia, I'm thinking like more like July of 2016 would be a realistic goal.
Oh, good.
And I know that's a long
great.
Way, but.
That's a
realistic goal. Now that might change, to be honest with you. Life does change sometimes. And then there's another project I'm working on too at the same time. So, that's gonna probably be a factor as far as. But this the third one's it's by far the most epic, so to speak. There's lots of elements involved. I don't want to give too much away, but it's going to be a pretty huge story, not as controlled as the first two are. You know, this one's kind of expands over lots of time, several mm-hmm. years, and then the entire world, really. So,
you mentioned some new projects that you're working on. Will they be thrillers also?
I'm taking a sidestep. I want to keep, learning how to do this right. I'll get it one day. I'm decided to write a historical fiction piece.
Neat.
It'll be kind of a thrill ride, but it'd be more, what I'm working on now is a Western female heroine.
Hey, throw a little bit already. Of Billy the Kid in there. Let her meet up with Billy the Kid in it. That would be so cool.
That's funny you say that. It's definitely related to that. Or, well, I don't want to give too much away, but like it'll be first person from a girl, and also first person with her mother, and. Her becoming a woman from around the turn of the night of the 1900s, around late 1800s to mm-hmm. Early 1900s out west, and during that time being a woman and what that was like, and that's definitely fiction, and it's going to be again really action packed. There'll be some more love
exciting.
Triangle involved. I'm stoked apart. But writing first person from a woman's point of view, especially two women, isn't impossible. It's been fun. I think I have to luckily I have a few writer friends that are female, and they can hopefully coach me through it as I'm putting out drafts, you know. So I don't just sound just like a guy that's trying to be a girl. You know, then that's what I'm working on now.
Well, based on the books you've already written, I've got a question for you. Do you believe in the supernatural?
That's a tough question there.
Yeah, that's a good question. I like to think that there is a positive and a negative flow of energy that you can get on either one of those. And those, and some coincidences in life, maybe not be coincidences. They might be more like road signs that will. If that is, that would be like a supernatural element that I could subscribe to.
Okay, that sounds like a good answer.
Yeah.
Okay, when you compare your first book and your second one of Minion, the second series, which one is your favorite, or which one was more fun to write, or were they equal in different ways?
Well, this new one's been the most exciting for me to write because it is in first person. And that's, that was a challenge, you know. This character is telling you a story. I mean, it's directly telling you a story.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's lots of fun, and that enabled me to have a lot more freedom because when you're given a narrative that's more third person,
right.
You gotta kind of play God for a minute, looking down on this story. So it's a little more pressure to put on yourself because this is essentially coming from me. And, mm-hmm. and whereas this route is coming from a different person who doesn't need to adhere to grammar or sentence structure or any of that. He can just talk, you know, and this is coming from his mind. And essentially he's laying on a couch telling his story to Deacon James, you know, so that's what he's kind of doing. And here Deacon James is just trying to jot it down so that there is a recorded, there is documentation of this story. So that was a lot of fun. And it gave me lots of freedom. I didn't have to really worry about, you know, sentence structure. I just kind of go. And I think that's going to, it was good for me because now it will pave the way from future stuff. Because a lot of people say early on was like, you know, you gotta adhere to these English standards and whatnot. And I disagree with that whatsoever. And I'm kind of glad I'm not like a trained writer. I'm more of just a guy that wants, you know, just does it.
Well, you got to have your own style of writing too. And, you know, if you write like everybody else, it's going to get boring. And your book is definitely not boring, that's for sure.
Oh, thanks.
I'll agree with that.
Speaking of your books that are online right now, let's tell everybody where they're able to get the books to read.
Yeah.
To ask you to go ahead and tell everybody where they can find your books.
Yeah. So Amazon.com is if you're a Prime member, then you can get some benefits for delivery and things like that. And then usually they have Amazon likes to give deals on these kind of books all the time, especially for the Kindle mm-hmm. versions. If you have if you pay for the Kindle rent and where you trade books with each other and stuff, those both books are available through that. I think there's I forgot the name of the program, but it's
if they want to just order the book, can they order the book now, either book?
Oh, absolutely.
Like a hard copy or soft copy?
Mm-hmm. Hard copy or paperback and Kindle both books are available. And I put out a new edition of the first story, which did have another round of editing, and it does have a new cover And there is a sprinkled a little bit more description in there, and just a touch up of a few things from the first edition. So if you like the first edition, you know, if you got a some time to kill reading through the first one, you might enjoy it a little bit more. But for the most part, it's the same story. So I mean, it's the same story. So it's just a tweaked just a slight bit.
Well, it sounds great.
Amazon.com.
Unfortunately, we're out of time, Justin. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
But everybody get on Amazon. All you have to do is either put Minion or Justin Treese in the search, and you can find him easy.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys, so much.
And we want you to come back and when you get that third one ready.
Absolutely.
Yeah, anytime.
Thanks, Justin.
Thank you, guys. Nice talking to you.
You too.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.